Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Oh, what is up, Church by the Glades? Sunday morning, 10 o'clock edition. If you're a guest, welcome. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at CBG. You may not know we're one church in many locations. I want to quickly say hello to our campuses right now. Let's give it up for Sample Road, Fort Lauderdale downtown, Lake Worth, and our two campuses in unique environments and prisons. Make a lot of noise for our ladies at Homestead Correctional and the men at Dade CI. Glad you're with us. Folks watching on TV all over the world right now, online, so glad you're with us. This is going to be an exciting session two of our series entitled Warrior. At this campus, in my opinion, that rap was a little angry. A little angry. Guess what? Sometimes warriors need to get a little angry. We have a remarkable guest speaker today, but I pray that God uses his words, his oratory, his humor for some of you guys to get a little mad. I'm ready for some of you guys to get so angry at debt and financial dysfunction that you do something about it. So let me front load the talk this way. You're about to hear an amazing talk. I heard it last night. It was so fun. You're going to laugh. You're going to learn. You'll be inspired. But if all you do is laugh, nothing happens. Nothing changes. So here's your faith action step for thousands of people at Church by the Glades this weekend to go to the lobby at your campus as soon as the message is done and register for Financial Peace University and go through the 9 weeks. Y'all should be making more noise. In fact, if you're not clapping, you're who I'm talking to, all right? Because it is a life-changing thing. We've had 2,000 people plus go through. They will tell you, on average, just during the 9 weeks, families see a $4,500 financial swing. That's $500 a week upside for you. I mean, this is just something, unless you're stupid, you're going to do. Yeah, my pastor just called me stupid. Yeah, I did. Get mad. So that's your faith action step. There'll be lines to register. Who cares? Push through the lines. You'll be a little late to lunch. Who cares? Let's do something and make a difference. But we are so blessed. This guy is so busy. He's so in demand. I am so grateful for his team and the fact that the one and only financial ninja himself, he has helped so many people. His radio show, about 14 million people a week tune into it. God is using the one and only Dave Ramsey in an amazing way. Now, Dave is from Nashville, Tennessee. Nice people in Nashville. They do hospitality in the South pretty well. But he's never seen some true, authentic South Florida hospitality until this weekend. So, Church by the Glades, would you make, as Dave makes his way to the stage, the one and only Dave Ramsey. Make him feel welcome. Woo!
There is a couple of things I'm sure of after last night and this morning. Just by hanging out with you guys, number one, I am substantially cooler than I was when I got here. I mean, Pastor got me these kicks. What do y'all think? Yeah, I mean, pretty serious, right? Yeah. Another thing I'm sure of is you guys actually like to have fun. I love being in a church where you want to have fun. Praise and worship is just world class, man. I mean, wow! Absolutely amazing. Fun stuff. All right, breathe. Let's pray. God, you know I can do these talks by myself. You sure are better when you do them. So we turn this time and this moment in our lives over to you. And we ask for you to speak clearly, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So my wife Sharon and I, we got married, we were broke. How many of y'all started off broke? You remember, we ain't got money, honey, but we got love. Good thing too, because we ain't got any money, right? We were eating off a card table driving a 1902 Pinto. For you young people, that's a car, not a bean. And we started off our lives. I grew up in Nashville, where we live today, and we were at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, about 200 miles away when we met. And so we moved to Nashville right after we get married. And as soon as we get married, we move in. About 2 weeks later, my wife remembered that she was a Baptist. We didn't talk about God or Jesus or church or anything before we got married. I was pretty much a hell-raising, beer-drinking hillbilly, and she knew this. It was not a shock to her. It was a shock to me, however, that she was a Baptist. This I didn't know. And apparently there's like a doctrinal thing, once you're a Baptist, you're always a Baptist or something. I don't know how that works. So she comes in on Sunday morning and says, "We're going to church." And I said, "We aren't doing anything. It is Sunday. I will be here watching football and drinking beer." And she gets mad and stomps and leaves and cries and leaves the house. And of course, we're in Nashville, y'all. I mean, it's the buckle of the Bible Belt, right? I mean, there's more Baptists there than people. So, I mean, as soon as she leaves the front door, it didn't take her long to find her tribe, right? And so she goes into a little Baptist church, and those little Baptist sweet people prayed for her heathen husband. And she came home, and the next Sunday, this repeated itself. "I'm going to church. You should go to church." "Well, who are you? I don't even know you." She leaves, and this went on for about 6 months. Our marriage was not going good because it was a Sunday problem. So then I get into one of these multi-level things, you know, where you make all your friends mad. And so with one of my beer drinking buddies, there's a lot of beer in this story, but and we would go to happy hour in the afternoon and then go make sales calls and couldn't figure out why people weren't buying. I mean, we're just bright boys, you know? And so we would go to one of these rah-rah sessions, one of the pep rallies that they have. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so we drove from Nashville down to Birmingham about 2 hours and went to the Alabama Theater. Now, in my mind, it was 10,000 people there. I actually used the theater for an event a few years ago. It holds 800. So it really wasn't. But you know how when you go back to your grade school, everything shrunk kind of thing, you know? And so anyway, so we go in there, two rednecks up on the back row sitting back here. And we had written down five things that if we could learn these five things from these heroes of that world, the icons of that world, if they would teach us these five things, we would be able to go home and become billionaires and buy a yacht. You know how you do that stuff. And so the guy gets up, he's got his check, he makes $400,000 a minute or whatever, and he's doing his talk, right? And you know how this stuff works, right? And so he gives his talk, and it's as if our five things were the outline for his talk. Now, he was already a guy we revered. He was already a guy that had credibility in our eyes. But when he finished reading our mail, he owned us. You know what I'm talking about. And then he goes to the end of it, and he goes, "And if you don't know God, you're going to struggle in business." And I went, "Say what? You've been talking to my wife." He said, "If you actually have a relationship with this man named Jesus, it will change the way you value people and the way you treat people. And people in business who treat people well succeed in business." Because we all know we don't like doing business with people who don't want to treat people well. You know, if you're going to drag me off your airplane by my hair, I really don't want to fly on your airplane. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it, right? I want to do business at a place where they're not snarling at me while I'm giving them my money, you know? And so it's a good point. I thought, well, that's interesting. So my buddy and I look at each other like, we got to work on that. We got to figure out this God thing. So we go back to the Holiday Inn, and in the nightstand, there's a Gideon's Bible, right? So Bubba, Daryl and his other brother Daryl, get the Bible out. And of course, it's King James. I mean, Shakespeare and Jesus, y'all. I mean, there is no way these two rednecks are figuring this out. And so we just gave up. We closed it. But I did go home. I told my wife, I said, "We're going to church." And she said, "Who are you and what have you done with my husband?" And we visited a couple of churches, and they were not having fun like y'all, you know? You ever go in those churches and people look like they were weaned on a pickle? I mean, if there's a God that made the Caribbean and made the Rocky Mountains, you ought to be a little excited about it. Hello? I mean, I'm cheering for football. I'm cheering for hockey. I'm shaking my fist at you in traffic, but I can't stand up and raise my hands for Jesus. I mean, what is it? It's weird, you know? Wide open. So we go in the back door of this little church, about 400 people, and these people were in there raising their hands like they knew to answer some question. And we're on the back row, and then some woman in the choir starts doing like this. And I told my wife, I said, if they get snakes out, I'm out of here. I mean, this is Tennessee, y'all, so, I mean, you never know. And, whew, man, that was a great place. We couldn't stop going back. We kept going back, and there was something in the air. I found out later it was called the Holy Spirit. And we just kept sitting on the back row so we could sneak out and nobody see us. Y'all know how you do, and you, like, I just want to check this out. I want to look in from the side. But it was an old-fashioned church, and the pastor used to, it was only 400 people, so the pastor would stand at the back and shake everybody's hand as you leave, you know, and his wife would stand beside him, and she's a big squishy woman. She'd give you a big grandma hug, you know, and, oh, man. Sweet, loving, kind people, but that guy was a man. See, I always thought Christians were like wusses, but he was a man, and he'd look you in the eye, and those people hugged me into the kingdom. I met God there in a very real way. So, I mean, we're 22, 23 years old. About that time, I started buying and selling real estate, and I was good at it, and I got rich, starting from nothing. By the time I was 26, I had over $4 million worth of real estate and a little over $1 million net worth, and I made $250,000 a year. This is 1984. Which is $20,000 a month. Now, I don't know what neighborhood you grew up in, but the neighborhood I grew up in, we called that rich. It was fun, too, y'all. It was fun. You got that car you always wanted if you ever had some money? Mine was a Jaguar. I always wanted a Jaguar because nobody in my neighborhood could spell Jaguar, you know. So I got me a Jaguar, man. I'm about 90 days later, I am a Jaguar, you know. It's like, right, you know, it's like, wow, here we go. We went to, Sharon and I get on an airplane. We'd never been anywhere. We went to Hawaii. Oh, hillbillies in Hawaii. It was unbelievable, y'all. We liked it so much. You know what we did? We went back. It was fun. And Sharon likes those sparkly things. We got her some. They weren't big enough, so we got her some more. It was fun. You know, I hear sometimes people say, all those rich people are miserable. Uh-uh. Now, I'm not here to tell you money will make you happy. Money will not make you happy. I'm sure of that. And life experience and scripture shows us that. Money will not make you happy. Money will just make you more of what you already are. Wow. So, if you're a jerk and you get money, you're a big jerk. You're a bully. You're a problem child. You got a temper, you get money. Woo, look out. Don't you know who I am? You understand? Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, I've met those people. You get money and you're kind and you're a generous person. You become what we call a philanthropist. And you spend your life enjoying money at its highest and best use, helping others with it. Amen. And you become more of what you are. And the people around you become more of what you, well, they are when you get money. You know, all of a sudden, you meet family members you didn't know you had. And the crazy that's in your family, crazy will come out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And every family has crazy in it. If you think your family doesn't have crazy in it, it's you. So we were bopping along, life was good, we were doing good. I mean, we did Jesus and going to church and having babies and everything's going good. And I thought I was on top of the world, and I was stupid though. Y'all ever done anything stupid with money? Yes. If you've done something stupid with money, raise your hand. Any of you that didn't raise your hand have a problem with lying. If you've made mistakes with money, that makes you over 12. Everybody has, including me, but I did it with zeros on the end. So I signed all these notes because I was flipping houses. I was buying property and flipping it before there was cable TV to tell you how. And so, I mean, we were flipping houses, and this guy, the bank got sold to another bank, and this guy in another city, the banker looks down and said, there's a kid, 26 years old, owes us millions of dollars. This is scary. Let's limit this relationship, which is banker talk for ruin his life, and they called our notes. We weren't late, but the types of documents we were using, commercial paper versus consumer type paper, give them permission to do about whatever they want, and I'm stupid. I signed those papers, so they called our notes. They wanted all their money at one time. It's all in real estate. And that started to crash, that no matter how hard I worked, no matter how honest I was, no matter what I wanted to do, I didn't have the capacity mathematically, intellectually, spiritually to survive. And we spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned. I was so scared. I had a brand new baby, a toddler. Our marriage is hanging on by a thread. You know, the number one cause of divorce in North America today, money fights, money problems. We were no exception, baby. I mean, we didn't get a divorce, but sometimes we held on to each other just to get a better grip. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sharon's from the hills of East Tennessee. Frying pan throwing, there's an Olympic event. I remember, I was 28 by then. I'm standing in the shower with it scalding almost in my face, just standing there so hot I could barely breathe, and I was just standing there and cry because I was so scared. So I do everything backwards. I met God on the way up, and I got to know him on the way down. When you're in a point of crisis like that and you think you're a person of faith or you are a person of faith, you have to make a conscious decision to go, I'm either going to turn my back on this stuff and walk away, or I'm going to go, obviously I don't have this figured out. I need some help. Lord, would you help me? And so I had an I surrender all moment, and I'm not talking about a Baptist altar call. I'm talking about all. I surrender every part of my life, every part of who I am. I'm holding nothing back. You are in charge. I can't run it. I surrender all. That's when you make him the Lord. Well, I believe in God. So do the demons. They believe in God. Demons are not agnostic. I believe in God is one thing. He is in charge. He's my Lord is another. It's a different place. And that's where I got to. I got crushed, y'all, because I was stupid. But he had a plan. So I'm getting out his love letter, and I'm going, I don't have any idea how to do anything. Show me what to do. Because I didn't. I don't know how to be a daddy. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to, obviously didn't know how to handle money. And so I'm in here, okay, marriage, submit yourselves one to another. Oh, I got to dry dishes. My kids are in here going, Dad, what's this rod stuff? And I'm like, baby, come here, I'll show you. <laughs> 2,500 scriptures on how to deal with money and possessions. Wow. And we never talk about it. It's amazing. Jesus talked more about money than he did about love and grace combined. Is that because money's more important than love and grace? Absolutely not. It's because it's the easiest way to get someone's attention so you can talk to them about love and grace.
Right. It's a good day. It's good.
And so he uses this stuff in our lives. So I had to decide to change because what I was doing wasn't working. You ever been there?
Yeah.
So I had a young guy working for me. I got about 700 folks working on our team back in Nashville. We got a little company up there and got all these wonderful, young, and energetic people on our team. And I love millennials. People picking on millennials all the time. I love them because they're the easiest to interview in the world because there's only two kinds. They're awesome or they suck. They're completely useless. Or they are on fire and will charge the gates of hell with a water pistol. I mean, you know what I mean? There's really no in between. And so I got one I'm working for him, and he's over here doing the stuff he's doing wrong. And I'm like, hey, don't do it that way. That's not the way. Do it this way. Okay, I got it, Dave. I come back a week later. He's still doing it wrong. I'm like, hey, don't do it that way. Do it this way. I told you once. This is twice now. Okay. We got it. So I come back over, and I'm like, he's doing it wrong again. I'm, boy, we're going to set you free in the name of Jesus. I mean, this is not working here. I told you, this is, seriously, there's a right way to do things, a wrong way to do it. You're doing this wrong. And he looks at me and he says, I'm not like you. I said, well, you don't have to be like me, but you have to do the stuff right. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. I don't know if that, listen, son, that's the way to do it, and I've got a suggestion for you. I don't know, that's not the way I see things. I went, change. He said, what do you mean? I said, change. You can just change. Just decide. Did you know you can do that? I can do that. I can go, donuts. I don't need any more. Change. Right? And then I have to do it again and again and again. But I, right? You have the power to make a decision to change. When you're doing something that isn't working, you have the right and the dignity and the power. God gives you that as a free agent, free moral agent, to make a decision to change. See, when you're going the wrong way and you're heading headlong into stupid, and you go, I got to stop, and I'm going to turn and change. In Christianity, we call that repentance. When you stop doing something God in a way that's not godly, you stop doing something that you're doing in a way that doesn't align with Scripture, and you turn and you say, I'm going to change. Right. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You get to make the decision. You get to decide. You're not stuck. You're not trapped. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I get to decide what I'm going to do. So, I don't have time to teach 2,500 scriptures this morning, but I've been doing this for about 30 years now, so I figured out there's about five things the Bible says to do, and I'm positive if you do these five things, because they're not Dave Ramsey things, they're Bible things. If you do these five things, to the extent you do these five things over the next 15 to 20 years, you will become wealthy. Now, I don't know how wealthy you will become, because I don't know what your income is, and I don't know how much tragedy you will have. Car wrecks and cancer, I can't predict, and I can't predict your income. But if you're a single mom making $25,000 a year, and you will do this for the next 15 or 20 years, you will build a level of wealth 100% of the time. They work that well. Now, is this some kind of prosperity thing? No, it's not that at all. It's what the Bible calls sowing and reaping. What you put in the ground is what grows. What you plant in your life is what grows. And so if you plant corn, when corn comes up, don't go, what happened? I have planted stupid and broken desperate came up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever done that? And you know what? If you plant nothing, you know what you get? Dirt. There's a cause and effect thing that you decide on, right? What are you going to put in there? So do these five things. They work. I didn't invent them. I stole them from God. They're His. The first one is get on a budget. A written plan. Jesus said, don't build a tower without first counting the cost, lest you get halfway up and you're unable to finish, and all who see you began to mock you and say, this man began to build and was unable to finish. Don't handle money without a plan. If you work for a company called You Incorporated, and your job was to manage money for You Incorporated, and you manage money for You Incorporated like you manage money for you now, would you fire you? Don't answer that. Zig Ziglar used to say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. John Maxwell says, a budget is people telling their money what to do instead of wondering where it went. So we all have done dumb things. We've said that. I did it with zeros on the end, so I got you beat. I got a PhD in DUMB, okay? So the thing is this, we've all done dumb things, but we gotta change. And on paper, on purpose, give every dollar an assignment before the month begins. Make the money behave. No, I'm impulsive. I'm not good with money. I don't like math, so change. I go retail therapy, so don't. Quit buying stuff you can't afford with money you don't have to impress people you don't even really like. Stop it. See, if you're impulsive, irresponsible, and not handling money well, don't have the unmitigated gall to actually pray and ask God to send you money. He will look at you and say, no. He answers your prayer. The answer is no. It's in the Bible. Parable of the talents. Three guys given money. One of them didn't manage it. Two of them managed well. The one that didn't manage it, what'd he do? Give him more. The one that didn't manage it, hit the lotto. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus does not do the lotto. Okay? That's not how it works. The guy that didn't manage well, you know what happened? They took it away from him and gave it to the other two who did manage well. And then the scripture says, when you are faithful in the little things, I will give you more to manage. Take care of what you got first, and then we'll see how you're doing. My son is a grown man now, a wonderful executive, getting ready to get married this spring. He's a wonderful man of God. I'm proud of him. When he was 14, though, he's like, Dad, when I'm 16, I'm getting a new Corvette. I said, no, you're not. I'm a loving father, just like my heavenly father is a loving father, right? I said, I have seen you drive, son. You are incompetent. You will not be getting a car with 400 horsepower under the hood, this fiberglass body, go from 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds. You will kill yourself, and I love yourself. And you will hurt someone else, and I'll be liable because you're the doofus that's not even an adult yet. No, you're not competent. You will be getting an old Chevette with a tired gerbil under the hood. And when you are faithful with the little things, my son, you keep the tires on that thing not squalling like they could squall, and keep them clean, keep it vacuumed out, stop at stop signs and no tickets. We'll talk about it. Let's check your competency. This is what God does. The second thing is get out of debt. The Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. So we get out of school, right? We got a little student loan debt. Been around so long, you think it's a pet. Got a little bit on the MasterCard, right? Of course, we're out of school now, so we have to go get a big boy car, big girl car. And then as soon as you've been married about 20 seconds, everybody's saying, buy a house, buy a house, buy a house, buy a house, buy a house. Broke people shouldn't buy houses. You want people to have houses? No, I don't want broke people to buy houses because it makes you broker. That's why they call them mortgage brokers. A house is a blessing. It's not a curse when you do it right. But we all go buy a house we can't afford. And we're like, oh, I can't breathe. People come in my office look like this all the time. They're like, Dave, can you get me out? Yeah. It's going to be painful, though. We're going to have to amputate the Tahoe and make a decision, right? So Sharon and I discovered this, and we said, you know what? This is the truth. We're going to live this way. And we quit borrowing money for anything. You're weird. You're right. I ain't broke. That's weird. See, average car payment in America right now, about 10 days ago, this came out from the National Auto Dealers Association, $504 a month. That's the average, over 86 months. You take a car payment that's $500, and you drive that car, that's a $30,000 car roughly, $29,000 and some change. You drive it for 4 years, it's worth 10. You turn 30 into 10 and wonder why you're broke. Kind of going the wrong way, did you notice? But if you took $504 and put it in a decent growth stock mutual fund in your Roth IRA from age 30 to age 70, you'd have about $5.8 million. Wow. Hope you like the car. Millionaires don't do car payments. That's how they become millionaires. No, they're millionaires. They don't need a car payment. No, that's how they became millionaires. You missed the cause and the effect. There's something going on here. So these people call me on a radio show, and they're like, Dave, I can't fund my kid's college fund. How much is your car payment? What's that got to do with it? Because that's where it's going. How much is your car payment? I don't want to tell you. I can't help you then, because you're going to have to amputate. A guy called me from Texas. He's like, Dave, you're going to kill me. I got big truck payment. How much you owe on your truck? What's your payment? $763. Oh, nice truck. I said, how much is your house payment, boy? He said, $550. I live in a double wide. If your truck payment's bigger than your house payment, you might be a redneck. You know, it's just like, oh. Man. So, light some candles and have a little celebration at your house tonight. Gather the children around and have plastic surgery. Have a plastectomy. Discover some freedom. Citibank, what's in your wallet, money? You don't use credit cards, Dave? No. You're weird. Yep. Bible says become a peculiar people. For me, it's an art form. You don't have a credit card? No. This is my wallet. Green president's faces. And four pieces of plastic in here. My debit card on my business. My debit card on my personal account. My driver's license and my handgun carry permit. And that's all that's in my wallet. Oh, there's rednecks in South Florida too. Okay. I said that in California the other day, but I got arrested. So good to be back in America. But, oh, funny. The third one is this. Foster high quality relationships, number three. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You become who you hang around with. Now, I'm not talking about who you're willing to associate with. I'm willing to talk to just about anyone of any faith, any political persuasion. I just love people. I like getting in conversations. I kind of like getting in arguments. I just enjoy being in the process, right? I'm not talking about snubbing someone, but your crew, the people that are the center part of your life, you become just exactly like them. You become who you hang around with. You talk like them. You use the same words. Hello? If they read the Bible, you do. The books you read, the movies you watch, even the linguistic ways you form your words. I was in New York the other day, and I noticed that all them people up there have an accent. You even talk like, you know this because you don't let your kids run around with kids that are juvenile delinquents because they'll come home and juvenile delinquent, right? And yet we do, and then we can't figure out why we run around with a bunch of people who are not winning, and we can't figure out why we're not winning. You need people who go, no, don't go over there, don't spend that. We're doing this together. We're all in this together. We're gonna have some money. We're gonna fund our kids' college fund. We're not gonna go spend money we don't have. And they're going, no, stay off the car lot. Worst car accidents happen on the showroom floor. Who are you hanging around with? It's a big deal. Number four, save and invest. Save and invest. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. That continues and says, but a foolish man devours all he has. If you spend everything you make, the Bible just called you a fool. Don't get mad at me, because I've been a fool. Big red arrow. Fool, 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 fool. And you don't want to be a Bible fool. This is not a greeting like, hey, fool. No, this is not funny, okay? You don't want to be a Bible fool. The stuff that a Bible fool happens to, you don't want to have happening to you. Amen. A foolish man devours all he has. Foolish is a fool in action, right? So, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. Now, choice food is what you and I eat every day, but when Solomon wrote that proverb, in biblical times, there were only two classes of people. Virtually everyone was in poverty, and then there were a few that were the aristocrats and the kings. They ate the choice food. Everybody else, we're talking Middle East, hummus and olives, right? I mean, this is it. I mean, it's baseline, right? And so choice food was reserved for wealthy. Oil is used to keep the lamps lit in the Holy of Holies. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It was poured over David's head, over Saul's head by the prophet to anoint him king because it was a sign of God's Spirit coming over the kingdom. So oil, a carafe of oil could be traded like we trade green president's faces in the marketplace. So it was a sign of wealth. Now read it. In the house of the wise are stores money. That's what it says. So first thing you save for, Grandma said it. She said save for a Rainy day. Why? Visual aid. It's going to rain, right? Better get ready. There's going to be a car wreck, a job layoff. This one I never understood. Unexpected pregnancy. Say what? Okay. And then you save and invest to buy things and pay cash for them, and then you save and invest to change your family tree, because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You see how this is starting to weave together? You don't retire and go, I hope the government, which is well known for its ability to handle money, will take care of me. And if you do those four, then you've earned the right and you put yourself in a position to do the most fun you'll ever have with money. You're on a plan, you're out of debt, so you got money to save and invest. You're running around with people that think about money, God's ways of handling things. Then you get to do number five. Be incredibly, outrageously, unbelievably generous. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, those of us that are evangelical Christians, if you're in here and you've been doing this thing a while, you know the baseline for that is a tithe, a tenth of your income to your local church, right? But I'm talking about above that, what are you going to do? So you get to have fun with it, y'all. Do you know a $1,000 car will change a single mom's life? Did you know 10 of them for only 10,000 bucks will change 10 of them's life? 52% of the single moms live below the poverty level, you guys. You can rock some people's world for change when you're not broke because you did this stuff. So here's the challenge. Thanksgiving comes. On your way to grandma's house, Thanksgiving comes. Put the kids in the car. I want you to drop by Waffle House on the way to grandma's house. Pull up right in front of the glass. Leave the kids and mama in the car and go in, have a cup of coffee and sit down. When you finish your coffee or about halfway through it, peel off three of these $100 bills, Uncle Benjamin's, right? And just leave those under the cup and slip out. Because you know who's working in Waffle House on Thanksgiving morning? Somebody needs work. And then go sit in the car and tell the kids, say, hey, watch God work. Watch grace happen. Watch it. You can visually observe grace, unmerited favor. She just got something she didn't earn. She pulls it out, and here's what she'll do every time. I've seen her do it a bunch. She'll pull it up, and she'll look at it, and then she'll go, like something's wrong. Is this candid camera? Did I do something wrong? Because nothing good has happened to her in so long, she doesn't think it's for her. Then she'll pick it up. She'll do like this. A tear will run down her face. And then, all of a sudden, the switch flips. And have you ever seen a human do a Snoopy dance? Dancing like you don't care. Anybody doesn't like your weird moves, right? I dare you to have that much fun with $300 anywhere else. We went to a really nice dinner with Pastor last night. It was probably more than $300. It was really fun. We laughed. We had some good food. That's more fun, though. You pull up beside her tires ain't got any tread on it. Say, hey, let's go over here, discount tire. We're going to put some tires on your car. Who are you? It doesn't matter. Jesus said, put tires on your car. It ain't got anything to do with me. You can't do that when all the money comes in and all the money goes out. Right. And you don't have a plan. But when you align yourself with God's truth in any area of your life, it changes the trajectory of your life. Right. Forever. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this incredible church. The work Pastor David and the team are doing here is awe-inspiring. And we just stand back, Father, with gratitude as we come boldly before your throne with our petitions and we say, Lord, bless these people. Give them the power to transform, the power to change. Because through Christ, I can do anything. And Father, show them what to do very clearly, your ways, and let their lives be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.